Do you want your products seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked.
Okay, guys, we're live. How are you guys doing? So thanks for coming on. Let me introduce George here from Clear Ads. George, let's talk about a little bit about yourself to your audience in Pakistan and in the rest of the world.
Sure. So hi, I'm George. I'm from Clear Ads. I've been in the ad space, well, digital advertising space since 2009. I set up Clear Ads in 2011. We primarily started with Google Ads, moved over to Facebook Ads, Bing Ads, Twitter Ads, Expedia Ads, and so on and so forth. And then managed to stumble across Amazon's sponsored ads just over 5 years ago, and have been doing DSP just over 3 years ago on Amazon.
Okay, great. So, George, like, can you remember the first time we met? Do you remember where that was?
Yeah, of course I do. I remember the first time I heard of you. The first time I heard of you was before the first ever $1 billion seller summit with Kevin. So he had you, and I think it was David from China.
Yes.
And then he had you both speaking, saying that you guys are coming, because he was with you. He's coming to Austin to talk about lots of Amazon tactics and secrets. So I was like, okay, this guy sounds cool. And then I met you at the event. And then the first
So the first time was like, I don't remember, but 2009? What was that for?
No. It was 3 or 4 years ago. No. But I remember you were too cool for me. Wow. You didn't talk to me. You were too cool. Okay. I had to kind of see you from a distance.
Honestly, I still remember you. I was like you were out there on a booth. I think it was by yourself, right? Or was it someone else was there with
you? No, I was on my own.
Right? Yeah. The first time was without Tom. Wow. I was like, now look at what you've grown. You're like so different now, right? I remember you were by yourself setting up the booth, and then later on having your reset up another booth or something like that. So it was like all you, all yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
In those days, it was only me that went to events, no one else.
From my point of view, I'm like, I hear like, you're not even doing anything. All your team is doing everything, especially the other George Roberts, right? Doing everything for you.
Hey, is that what Baldwin's been saying? I'm doing nothing. I still do certain stuff.
I heard George told me. I think George told me that too. I don't know. You can talk to him about it. I forgot.
Okay. Oh, George told me that. Okay. Event.
So now you don't go to events? Well, maybe some of them. But But you don't go to any of the events, not all of the events anymore, like how you started in the very beginning.
I go to more now, because what happened last year, I got ill, very ill last year, so I couldn't go to anything. And now this year I started to get healthy, so I'm at an event once a month somewhere. So I'm trying to go to as many more events as possible now.
I see. I think last time I saw you was my event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so good. I love that event. That was like a big highlight.
Yeah, I had some 007 pictures of you guys, of you and George. Really good.
Yeah, it was good. And at that time, it's like, you can, at that event, it was like a massive holiday for me, because it was like, you want food, they bring you food. You want whatever you want, they bring it to you all the time, all hours of the day. It was so good.
I remember there's like the platter that you were asking for a little food, and they give you a platter or something like that.
So massive. I looked like a greedy boy, because dinner was about to start in an hour. I just wanted a little platter, and then they just gave me this massive board with all this food.
Yeah. So let's just start a little bit. I guess because our audience is kind of out there listening to what we're talking about. We're talking about all this. Can you talk about, because our audience in Pakistan doesn't really understand or know too much about DSP, and then now that's what we're going to ask the godfather of DSP here to tell everyone what is actually DSP and what can DSP do.
Yeah, sure. So DSP is a form of programmatic advertising. So it's media buy-in, but it's been automated. So if we forget about Amazon for a second, DSP is a way to serve your ads on content that is out there to be sold, right? And this inventory, this content can be on websites, forums, blogs, right? So Trade Desk is the biggest DSP out there. You've got Google's DoubleClick, that's DSP. Facebook Ads is actually a DSP. It trades its own inventory. And what you do is you find the audiences you like and you think is going to match up with who you want to target your products or services with, and you serve your ads on there. So Amazon basically wanted to get into the programmatic space, and they did this a number of years ago. So they came out with their own DSP. So PPC and DSP are very different. The demand side platform is where Amazon said, right, we're going to come and compete in this new space. But Amazon's unique because Amazon's offering is they actually take advantage of their first party data, right? So with Facebook, they could look at age, sex, they could look at interests. They can work out interests from what people like. And there's also a lot of third party data they used to buy in and use that third party data to create even more audiences. But now they're not allowed to do that because of, well, they don't do that anymore because of third party kind of cookies is kind of being wiped out slowly. So they don't do that anymore. And Amazon, they deal with first party data. So they carry on. They're not affected in one bit. Actually, Amazon's DSP has gone up a level now in the programmatic space. So, and because Amazon deals with its own data. So Amazon's data is far more rich. It's far more accurate because one, they're not buying it from outside. It's all inside. So it's going to be 100% accurate. Two, you could target people depending on their buying habits. So, you know, if someone's buying a lot of baby products, they have a baby, they have a child. So if you're looking for parents with young children, it's very easy to put that audience together and serve ads to them. If you're looking for someone who buys certain types of novels, they buy fiction books, you can create a very easy audience around those who have bought the top selling fiction books over a period of time and serve ads to them. And you could do this within Amazon and outside of Amazon. So there's two types of people who advertise on Amazon. There's what you call endemic advertisers. And that is people who advertise products, Amazon products on Amazon, right? Through DSP and off Amazon. And you've got non-endemic advertisers is those who have other offerings outside of Amazon that ain't, and they don't sell on Amazon and they want to serve ads using Amazon's audiences to their website or their mobile app.
I see. Paul, do you want to add to that? Anything?
I think just to let the people know who do Amazon, DSP is very underutilized and not too many people. They're either unsure of what the platform can do or they aren't even aware of. Like, they think that Amazon DSP is actually the same as Amazon Display, but it's totally different. Yes, Amazon Display does crosses over, but but DSP is far more superior and you can control a lot more of the audiences. What do you think, George? Like, what do you feel like the education is for DSP, for your clients or people out there that you've noticed?
Well, a few years back, when we first got into DSP, not many people used it or knew about it. Those who did know about it were really big sellers, Amazon sellers, and they were approached by Amazon directly, and they were burnt. So they didn't have the best experiences with Amazon's DSP. And just to kind of add to what Baldwin said about display ads on PPC is a very light version of DSP. So Amazon's trying really hard to put all of the features that you get on DSP into Amazon. I don't see it the whole thing going on there, but they're probably going to continue to add features to make display ads more powerful. So display ads is definitely a great place to start. If you're seeing some good results in display ads, there's going to be a strong chance you'll see that on DSP. But sorry, Borden, what was your question again?
What is your experience with people being educated about DSP? If they've heard of it or typical clients nowadays
so nowadays there's a lot more people who know about DSP. I think a few more agencies have got onto it and there's been a bit of education around it online. The problem with DSP is about getting access to DSP. It's not straightforward. You just don't get it. So I know Howard and Baldwin, you have it. I have it. There's a few others who have it. So we're able to go inside into the dashboards and actually have a look at what's available for us. And they keep adding new things, right? So, you know, there's new things, like literally you don't get told about, it just gets added, right? And he's like, right, okay, this is a new feature. Like the other day, they're allowing me to target people who have searched anything on IMDb. So if they looked at a certain cast member or a certain a kind of an actor or a TV program or movie, you can create an audience off that and target those people. So they're constantly adding features. A benefit for us is the fact that there's a lot more we can get away with. So it's still kind of very, very kind of under controlled. Like there's not much support for it. There's quite a few things. I think they probably police a little bit more later, but they're not now. So you could do more with it. But yeah, it's definitely something that not enough people know about. But it's not. But then also another thing is, it's not for everyone. It doesn't work for every brand. So that's something else to bear in mind.
Can you, George, can you tell us what it is, DSP, what's the best targeted seller to use DSP? What do they have to be like? What criteria?
That's a really good question. I'm going to have to come back in 1 minute. Baldwin, can you start us off with that and then I'll come straight back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So DSP, if your product actually has a lot of traffic through it and you're getting a lot of sessions or click-throughs into your product, those are the products that actually excel in terms of DSP being able to capture the audience for remarketing. Otherwise, you would have to do more top of the funnel or middle of the funnel approach where you're not typically going to get the best ROAS or ACOS. You're going to have to pay more to get exposure, and it's more of awareness campaigns. But if your product actually does well, it takes, we do these remarketing campaigns where it takes your audiences that visited your product, and you can target them specifically where I can say, hey, I want to target only people who visited my product but didn't visit or that didn't buy my product yet. So I want to target them, and you can add more things into it, like maybe also didn't buy my competitor's target, because then we know they're looking for a garlic press and they didn't buy my garlic press or any of my competitor garlic press. So they're still looking for a garlic press. So you can still continue to retarget them if they didn't buy it yet. That way it's the intent, buyer intent is there, and you get your buyers to be able to come back to your listing.
Yeah, like, you know, like to reiterate, if like a buyer goes to your competitor's listing and either view it or either bought it before or even add to cart, you can always retarget them based on the length of the period, like 30 days later. Hey, let's say supplements. It bought your competitor's products last 30 days. That's time for them to start buying again. So you go and retarget them directly so that they will buy your product after their supplements runs out. So things like that is really powerful. You think about it. You know, people want to do like email marketing or do a lot of other things to find the data in order to go and put it into the Facebook ads to retarget. You don't have to do that because it's already there. You can already have Amazon DSP be able to target these people without even having to do that. Another thing is, like, maybe Bowen could talk about it, is about weathers. You know, you could target about weathers and locations during a specific time of the year or day. So, Bowen, do you want to talk about location targeting and weather?
Yeah. So, for example, if you sell something regarding to whether it's like emergency safety things, like, I don't know, like emergency kits or first aid kits or something to do with, you know, hurricanes or extreme weather, or even, I know for Pakistan, you guys have blackouts where if you sell a generator or something like a, where you need like a battery pack or something, you can actually find out where is these blackouts coming from, where's the heat coming from, or if it's any information regarding weather or a phenomenon like hurricanes or natural disasters going on in the world, you can actually target those customers. There's examples like AccuWeather is a website that tells you the weather. So you can actually target places where there's hurricanes or flooding or anything regarding that by zip code. So you can actually focus targeted locations and know that, okay, there's a hurricane coming soon or there's a heat wave coming soon. So you can present your products to those people.
So we had to do a case study recently on that. Maybe you can just, without disclosing what product or who it is, maybe you could tell some of the results, Baldwin.
Yes, I believe we got 20 ROAS on a typical campaign using this method because it's very, very targeted to the need. If someone is buying something that affects them in terms of the weather, they really need it. And if it's really severe weather, especially, people are going out and buying things or getting ready. So it's really, it's perfect actually for these type of people. And this also goes beyond just Amazon sellers too. If you like, in for example, if it's in a specific location, like I want to target San Diego, I can actually just target those zip codes if I have a mom and pop business. So it's not only for just Amazon sellers, but it's also for anyone who can sell their products, even as a mom and pop shop.
George, you want to add to that since you just came back?
Yeah. Sorry about that, everyone. But yeah, so in terms of DSP, I think the main thing to know about DSP is it's display advertising. So it's more invasive advertising. So people weren't looking for the ads that you have. You know, they just come across it. So you can never compare it to PPC. It's always different to kind of, you know, someone actually searching for whatever you're selling and your ads appearing for it. So there's that to bear in mind. But a big benefit about Amazon DSP is you could be targeting people before they even know they need a certain product, right? So, you know, if they bought one item, there's a strong chance that they're going to need another item, right? So some of the examples I tend to give is, you know, if someone's just bought diapers, right? And if they've bought just a pram for a baby, so they're about to give birth, they're getting ready to, you know, for this new child is going to arrive, you can start advertising diapers. So you know they're going to need it. They might not have thought about it, but if they see an ad with diapers on it, they might, you know, they might say, okay, you know what? It might be sensible to start buying some. So when the child does come, we have some in place and at home, right? So when you can become very clever, just like the example Baldwin gave, when you can become clever and really think about, okay, who is my target audience? What are they like? Start to create a persona. This is what they tend to spend their money on. This is what they tend to do. And then you start to home in, okay, how does this link in with the products that I sell? And once you marry up the two pieces of information, and then you have success with DSP. There's also the obvious space, which is remarketing. And that's the first place most DSP, Amazon seller-focused DSP agencies go for. Is they look at, okay, if a brand has a good amount of impressions and clicks to their products, and if you're seeing a good volume of sales, so if the market is telling us this is a good product, people are buying this product, there's a demand for it, it stands out and it's good, then we can leverage remarketing and allow ourselves, allow them to get more sales through that channel. That's a really good place to start. And a really big benefit of DSP is the overlap reports. So when you have certain audiences you've created that works well, you can put it through something called an overlap report, which might be introduced to display ads soon. So if it does, watch this space. It's a really powerful audience, kind of a really, really powerful reporting tool. Because what it does is it takes that audience and it tells you, okay, you've got this audience. Here's other audiences that Amazon's created, which tend to fall into the in-market and lifestyle audiences that really match up well with your audience, right? So what you can then do is you can target those audiences, and you're likely to get more impressions and more traffic. So if a seller has a few hundred thousand, or maybe, yeah, maybe 100,000 plus lit emails, they can put that email list into Amazon. Find, they can link it up with Amazon brands that are out there, so Amazon customers that are out there. And with that information, you can also create an audience. So you can take that information and use that too. So there's a lot of powerful features within Amazon's display ads. The reporting in itself gives you far more extensive reporting too. So you're able to see not only the sales, you're also able to see the new brand sales. You're also able to see how many add to carts they've been. You're able to see how many people have added the products to the wish list. So it gives us a much greater picture of actual results of a campaign before you turn it off. So there's numerous touch points, and that's what we're learning, is numerous touch points of certain products before someone buys a product. So if, for example, one campaign is doing a great job of getting customers to add to cart, but we're not seeing as many conversions, that might be where the journey of the customer begins. So shutting that campaign down might have been the prudent thing to do in the past, but now we have more data and we can understand the journey that actually you might be cutting off a really key area of the customer journey. So that's something else that we can do with DSP.
Yeah, George, maybe you can tell us a little bit about, like, for example, supplements or people who benefit from lifetime value.
Yeah.
For subscribe and save customers. Maybe you can talk about a little bit about
that. That's a good point, Baldwin, because with new to brand sales, with supplements and any product where people are likely to buy again, so it could be supplements, it could be food, it could be shampoo, skin products. These products do really well with Amazon DSP because you could target people at even deeper down the funnel. So you can target people who have purchased but might not have purchased for a little while. So we know they're interested in the product, we know they've used it, and they might just not have got around to buying again. These tend to do extraordinarily well, these campaigns. But then you can take it a step further and you can target people who have been buying similar brands of shampoos to yours. So they've purchased them in the past. So you know that they're likely to consume what you have. So you presenting your products to them is going to have a strong chance of that converting as well. So there's a lot that you can do with that information. And let's just say your brand brings out a new flavor, or it brings out a new form of supplement. If someone's got a certain condition, and that vitamin C serum you sent them is something that helps them with the whatever condition they have, and you bring out a new improved version or a variation of that version, you can target those who have bought your product and present them with this alternative or this additional supplement. That tends to go a long way as well, even at the launching phase as well. So it could give you the uplift in sales needed to help your product kind of generate the daily sales needed to kind of get more recognized and kind of push through the honeymoon period.
So maybe I'm going backwards now, but can you kind of explain the whole funnel to our listeners? The funnel.
Yeah, give me 1 second. So in terms of the funnel, so just to give you a little bit more of a basic funnel, is you got loyalty at the bottom, then you got customers, then you got those with purchase intent, you have then consideration and awareness. So with PPC, majority of people you target are purchase intent. So those who are looking for the product. But with DSP, you target everyone. You target everyone within the funnel. You can target people on the awareness phase. So awareness phase tends to be something done by big brands that have a lot of money, and they want to kind of increase their top end awareness of like their product. But also it works for people where there's no other products like theirs out there. So if you have a product that's so unique, people ain't even searching for the product. You have to educate the market. You have to show the market that such a product exists. And that's where you would do an awareness play to get people to kind of interact with the product. So you got the awareness play. Consideration is where you get in market and lifestyle audiences. So you can exclude anyone who's engaged with your brand. And this is against a really powerful thing you could do with DSP. So once you create an audience of anyone who's viewed your brand in the past, you can exclude it off the in-market and lifestyle audiences. So your product is then shown to people who have never seen your product, right? And you can, and that's kind of more in a consideration play. Then we know they want a similar product to what you have, but they just didn't know about yours, and you can have your ads appear to them. And then you got the loyalty, which is what I've just explained in regards to, you know, someone's purchased one of your products before. There's a strong chance they'll purchase another one, so you can target them.
Maybe you can talk about what you told me this past month regarding football or OTT. Yeah, that stuff is exciting.
Well, these are secrets, right? Secrets.
Yeah, I was wondering where Baldwin was going, because he had a little smile on his face, and I was like, what's he gonna say? But yeah, so what's basically happened is Amazon has won, and this is the Ad Advance team, actually, they're the ones who told me about this, but Amazon has won the rights to American football. So Amazon is going to be the only place you can watch American football soon. So any ads to appear during the breaks on American football has to come through Amazon DSP now. So all of these major advertisers, they're going to have to go through Amazon's DSP. Another thing that's happening in the space is big spenders are now comparing the channels like Facebook ads to Amazon's DSP. So Amazon's DSP, the cost per thousand impressions is cheaper. You get far richer data. So it's actually a more attractive offering. So, yeah.
Maybe you can tell our audience, like, what if, can Amazon DSP actually target things outside of Amazon, which is meaning not on Amazon's website, like their own PDP? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so there's the open exchange element of Amazon as well. So you can target people outside of Amazon and on the supply side platforms. So you have Amazon, which is its own supply side as well as a DSP. You have IMDb. You have Amazon Publishing Services. And this is Amazon selected URLs, selected websites. This is they like to call it a kind of a premium, very heavily vetted list of websites and blogs and so on, and forums where you can serve your ads. And then you have the deep ocean. This is the open exchange. This is where many open exchanges are available for anyone. Anyone can, it's like an open market. This supply side platform sits on all of the exchanges, and then people can plug it. DSPs can plug into that exchange and take advantage of the audience, the traffic, the volume. So there's a lot you can do. So you can actually create your audience from Amazon, and you can target people outside of Amazon.
Sounds good. Also, guys, remember, you guys could actually target your own websites too with Amazon DSP. Is that correct, guys?
Yeah. So you can create a remarketing audience, or any audience kind of that you create from your website. So you can put a tag on your website. Anyone who's viewed your website, you can then retarget them through Amazon's DSP. So I think that's good. But you can also do that in other places, like kind of the general market. You could do that through Google as well. And that's far more seasoned. So then there's a chance you can get stronger results. I think the benefit of targeting audiences from your website with Amazon is just the ability to create, kind of put those audiences through overlap reports to find other audiences to target. Because you get to use Amazon's rich audience, which you can only access through Amazon's DSP. They don't share that with anyone else. It's not sold to anyone else. You can only access it through a very, you know, select few companies out there or Amazon directly.
Like, for example, like we do Amazon services, right? We do things. So like, let's just say we can actually target Amazon sellers, central people, whoever is a seller, we can actually target them.
Yeah.
And market our services. Or I actually, something that we thought about is that you could, aggregators back in the days could target all seller central people based on Amazon DSP. So this is another thing you can utilize this for.
Yeah, there was one stage, right? And this is before I started doing DSP. They had the best ad space ever. So when someone logged into Seller Central, there was a particular ad space. It was as you log into Seller Central, there was a big ad space, and American Express had that for a while, where they promoted the fact that you can use the Amex business cards to serve your ads through it and get the points. So if I knew about DSP at the time, we could have really, yeah, done a lot better with the, grown a lot bigger with the company. So yeah, that slot's not available. Another thing as well you can do is with DSP, we haven't done this before, but we've spoken to Amazon and they said, look, this is an option of what you can do is you can then go outside of the exchange and create private, kind of a private bid. So when you have super premium listings, super premium ad spaces, you can say, right, I want to show our ads there during certain times of the day for a month or 2 months. You agree a price, and then through the DSP, it gets actioned and your products appear.
Well, so you can contact Amazon. Like, how does that work? You make a deal with Amazon and you specifically say, hey, I want to be on this ad space and this is the price I want to pay to make myself known to that spot.
Exactly that. And there was one or two sellers that we had in the past where they were offered spaces on Amazon's homepage for their products. But it costs an arm and a leg. It's not cheap, but there are opportunities. And this is off Amazon as well. So this isn't necessarily just Amazon as well. It's you can go off Amazon to some of the bigger kind of inventory owners, and then you can actually say, I want to serve ad, and then a deal could be brokered.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to add to the whole DSP topic?
I think our whole the reason why we want to talk about DSP is just to let people know that DSP exists. DSP is out there, and DSP is actually really powerful. Just having that focused, targeted audience set, you can make multiple audience and have it overlapping. So like anyone who's bought if you're selling diapers, anyone who's bought a crib, who's bought crib mattress, getting ready to have a baby, they even have audiences, maybe like people interested in baby products and stuff like that. If you put all of these audiences together, you're the focus is so targeted, your ROAS is going to be pretty insane.
Like we've seen like us marketing towards like the using weathering a location. You know, like it's kind of like day parting, right?
So that's you're kind of like that is impressive. I like that example.
Focusing straight into people who really need it. You know, so because if you're gonna be targeting everyone, let's say all of USA, but only like Arizona needs a certain product. So all that like ROAS is gonna increase so much if you focus onto one place that really needs it. So you're using the best bang for your buck in advertising if you can do that. And that's why we see like even sometimes at 50 to 80 times ROAS on some of the things that we target. So it's really crazy.
Yeah, and then also just to add to that, so like for another example is we've been doing some stuff with a company who sells barbecue equipment. So barbecue equipment is heavily weather dependent. So when you know it's nice and hot outside, there's a stronger chance people are gonna use a barbecue set. So we definitely did exactly what you did, targeted in the winter, kind of the much hotter states like California and so on. And then in the summer we just open up the ads everywhere. And that tends to see that kind of consistent performance. But just to add as well, in terms of the power of Amazon, think about TV advertising. Think about how TV advertising is working now. You know, think about how many smart TVs are out there now. Think about how many people have Amazon Prime and Netflix and so on and so forth. The old way, a conventional old way of doing TV advertising is dying, right? They're all going to go into the programmatic space because there's a few things you can do, which is a lot stronger. One, right? You can in real time, you could be changing the audience in which your ads appear for with TV advertising. You could test with smaller budgets, multiple different types of TV audiences. Another powerful thing that you could do with Amazon's DSP is you can then create an audience of everyone who's watched the TV advertising, right? You can't do that now with the older versions of TV ads. So once you create an audience of everyone who's watched the TV ad, you can then create multiple touch points to get them to follow through, to get them from that awareness play to the conversion play. I don't know if you heard, Howard, but Microsoft have, and Baldwin and I were talking about this last week, but Microsoft have now won the rights to have ads appear on Netflix. So you now have Microsoft who are doing this, and you have Amazon Prime who's doing this. So they're going to be some big plays. So in the terms of the video ad space, that's the next place that is going to, I think, going to explode and get going. And even with Amazon sellers, they're really heavily trying to push OTT ads. So that's something, again, for those sellers who want to do awareness campaigns, there's not many who want to do that. You know, you have to have really big budgets and really want to kind of aggressively grow the brand and think more long term. So you've got that element, right? Another element of DSP to watch out for is the sophistication that's going to come with outside of Amazon targeting, right? So at the moment, you can only be targeting open exchange by open exchange. I honestly believe when Amazon DSP kind of refines audiences on there, you'll be able to then see placements of what URLs your ads have appeared on. When we can then start to see what URLs your ads have appeared on, you can then take it to another level to get that external traffic in. So we've seen a symptom of this. So with Amazon DSP now, you can select a button which allows Amazon to find similar content outside of Amazon that relates to the listing of the product. So you can do that now.
Interesting. For layman's terms, like, you know how back in the days, TV commercials are like really crazy, like expensive and everything. You know, now it is, you know, TV is dying, you know, and also everyone's like, why is Amazon trying to create their own like platform for video, like Netflix, you know? But, you know, they really wanted to, in the future, to be able to do all these advertising, becoming the next TV, kind of like, you know, like monopolize the TV market, because TV is dying, but everyone's going on their Amazon Prime account to watch, you know, movies and series nowadays. That's why it's like them having their own studio now, them trying to capitalize on the market. So that's really big money.
Yeah.
I just want to add, like, we were talking about football, American football. Imagine you being able to run a Super Bowl ad, which used to cost millions of dollars, but you can target it specifically. Let's say you have a restaurant in this zip code. You can target that zip code with your ad for football. And it won't cost you millions of dollars to have that ad space. You know that the people are watching football.
Yeah.
So now let's go back into, like, how can we utilize Amazon PPC with DSP together as in one? What kind of strategies that we can do?
Yeah, so in terms of kind of marrying up the two different platforms, they're going to both create different touch points, and you can get them to then create synergy by one feeding into the aware, like feeding into before the customer even knows about the product. So getting them acquainted with the brand, you can start to serve them ads. But then you can also, anyone who's clicked on to a product and haven't purchased, you can allow them to follow through. So it's creating those additional touch points where needed from PPC to just allow people to follow through. It also equips us with information so we can learn more about the audience, understand them a little bit more. So if we create these overlap reports and we see, okay, we never knew this before, but there's a clear matchup with a certain type of product to what we have on our end, then we can follow that through and say, right, okay, let's now take advantage of this information and let's create some PPC campaigns with keywords focused around this particular audience so we can see if that helps increase conversion rates further.
Vaughn, do you have anything to say?
So they're using it together. Honestly, if you don't take advantage of DSP, like I learned this from George, he's like, what do you tell people who are unsure of or are on the fence of DSP? And his response is genius. It's do it or don't do it, but your competitor is going to do it. So if you don't do it, then you're just losing out, and your competitors will have an advantage over it. So when you run, it's a completely different platform, different type of audience space. This is how you can grow your brand, expand, and scale outside of the Amazon PPC platform. DSP is pretty cheap right now compared to sponsored products or sponsored brand or sponsored display, because you're paying for impression. And if you're paying for impression, you have control over your impressions, who you're targeting, where you're targeting, in what location you're targeting, so that you show your impressions to the right audience wherever they are.
Sounds good. Okay, so I always tell my clients, like, hey, if you have a bestseller badge, you have an Amazon Choice badge, if you use DSP, you'll do really, really well. What have you seen on the results, George, on your side? How bestsellers without doing DSP now become and do DSP? What kind of results can you say?
Well, this is it. I think when you got the bestseller badge, it's because you're generating a certain volume of sales per day, which is higher than the person in second place, and that person in second place is the same as the person in third place. So doing DSP and taking advantage of the low hanging fruit could easily then increase your sales by 10-15%. Now, having a 10 and 15% boost up in sales could be the difference between you being second place to first place. Or if you're already first place, you can lock in that first place and you can make sure there's a bit of a distance that's even harder for that second place to get to first place by generating more sales using remarketing through DSP to kind of make that gap wider. So, and I'm not going to give away any of Baldwin's secrets. He told me some really fascinating things, but Amazon is biased around who's got the bestseller badge. If you got the bestseller badge, you have the superior product. If you got the superior product, you are ultimately serving Amazon's customers in the best possible way. So not only are you going to benefit from much more competitive CPC bids, you're going to take advantage of better ad placements. You're also going to have your ad serve in places outside of Amazon's search results page. You're going to be seeing sales come through other places that you can't even see. So when Amazon sometimes sends out a mailing list, it's going to be your product they're going to pick if they're going to pick anything from that category. So if you're in positions 1, 2, 3, DSP can be the difference between you going from 3 to 1. And we all know what happens when you have that bestseller badge, because when you have that bestseller badge, forgetting all these benefits I've just mentioned, you have much more of a difference compared to the other products. You clearly show that in that category, you're the best product. So the conversion rates are going to be better. Again, it just gives you a much bigger advantage to everyone else.
So let me ask you, have you seen any, have you done any case study, or have you ever talked about how DSP can help your keyword ranking organically? Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I don't think it directly impacts ranking in the sense of we can't target. So with PPC, whether it's Google or whether it's Amazon, you can actually have keywords associated and linked to it. So when you're talking about, okay, here's a list of keywords I have and I want those keywords to rank, we haven't seen a way to rank that ourselves. Maybe we're not looking hard enough, but we haven't seen a way. What it can do is it increases the total volume of sales that comes through. And that's going to have a massive impact on everything else. And that's what we've seen. But again, like I said to you before, you can't just take any product, put it on DSP and hope for it to work. So if the market has said it's good, so we've seen some sales out without DSP to the product and there's a demand for it and it stands out and it's getting a decent amount of sales, then that could definitely be propelled.
So, I mean, there is some kind of help for ranking that I see with DSP. First, like what you said, that if you the more you become like first, like the bestseller, you will get more places be seen eventually throughout time, and also be more conversion, which helps with keyword search. When they do see your, when they search for a keyword, they actually see your and buy your product. That's another thing. And also anything with a boost of BSR, if you sell more, Amazon will actually pump up all your keywords high into a, like a more higher level, you know, like a little boost. But it's not gonna be as boost, as great as a, like a search find buy style, you know, like for.
I can't hear Howard.
Yeah, Howard, I think it's internet.
And he's given is, and that was like the juiciest information he was giving us. He was giving us information that was gonna just change everyone's brands and make everyone millionaires. He's done it on purpose. He's done it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Right when he's giving away his secrets, his volume goes out.
Yeah, he can't hear you for some reason, Howard.
Nope.
Well, whilst he gets that sorted, I guess Howard, in terms of ranking, he's going to know a lot better, a lot more than us, because he's like kind of the ranking king. So he knows how to do things. So that's enlightening for me to know that actually that does have an improvement on ranking. So that's really, really good points.
Yeah. And also, I mean, just getting that boost of sales velocity from DSP will give you that advantage, no matter what keyword it is, as long as you get those sales. We can hear you again, Howard.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying, like exactly what I was saying. Like anything with more higher BSR, I mean lower BSR, you will get a boost in all your keywords going up one notch. You know, so that's one thing. And guys, so if you have promotions, if you have coupons or promotions, or are you able to see those promotions on your DSP ads?
Yeah. So when you do dynamic ads, what happens is actually it provides you an additional variation. So if you can have promotions in place, if you can also, with DSP, with the ads, you can also take snippets of any review, as long as you quote it word for word. You could take kind of the whole review, the first part, the last part, anything from the middle. You can put that into the ad and that creates another variation. And you want to have as many of these variations as possible appear or kind of on DSP, because it's heavily automated. So Amazon will test out the different variations, the different ad sizes and different positions during different times of the day. So and if you're optimizing for ROAS, if you're optimizing for a certain goal, over time, Amazon will learn, okay, these positions during these times of day get the best results. And then these positions during this time of day get the best results. This type of device during this time of day gets the best type of results. So it constantly learns and it constantly updates. So you should start to see a trend of improvement within DSP just because of the shared data that Amazon is playing with.
Yeah. Also, like, if not a lot of people know, you know, lightning deals, like 7-day deals, you can actually rank your deals to be higher in the search results. For first, you can actually boost up your organic placement through lightning deals, as well as through the deals site, deals page for Amazon. So you can actually rank your deals to the first position of the lightning deal and also best deals section on the deal page. If you go on the top right hand side, you can see today's deals or all the deals. You can then actually be able to rank those. That's a lot of people, they don't know about that. That is something very powerful.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that just search for deals. They don't look for products, they just search for deals, and then if your product comes up with a good deal, they'll buy it.
Wow.
Yeah. So guys, I'm not sure, not a lot of people know, but can you tell them, like, what did Bowen do over there with you? Why was he in UK?
Oh, so we have similar companies, and I guess Bowden and I have similar kind of commonality. We have similar interests, like we're both Christians, so we get on really well. And we just shared stuff. So we just shared information. And, you know, we learn a lot from each other in terms of agencies, because there's going to be a certain way that I do things, and it's going to be a certain way Bowden does things, right? So we've just been really open and shared, look, this is how I do things. This is what I've seen work well. And Bowden's done the same. And actually, I had Bowden come to the office and meet the team. And Bowden presented an epic presentation just talking about ranking. And he was able to just then ask our account managers, okay, you know, explain this to me, talk this through with me. And they were able to do that. So just doing that is now making us, I don't know, I think it's making us more of a powerhouse. So there's more information that we work with. we're able to kind of suck up more examples of how and what we've seen work well. And yeah, and that's kind of what it was. So we just spent time. We had a good time. We got to know each other a lot more. But I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add to that, Baldwin.
Yeah, Baldwin, yeah. What do you say? Go ahead.
Yeah, like, for example, sellers, right? I think Pakistan sellers collaborate. They come together and they share ideas, share information. How do you do this? How do you do that? Even around the world, in the U.S., sellers have masterminds, you know, conferences. They come together and they talk, they share ideas. And that's how you actually would grow. If you try to do things alone, you are only stuck with what you know and what you can do. But when you collaborate, like, even though ClearAds, Signalytics, we have similar agencies, we could compete. But what's important is, you know, the amount of people out there, we want to learn from each other. And even though we could be competitors, we still learn from each other. We grow together. What information we share with each other, it's just a lot more powerful just to have a community and just to have people to talk to, bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, like a lot of the, especially the U.S., the bigger sellers, they will not like tell what they're doing to the public, right? That's why we have these little smaller masterminds. They actually will talk a lot more and they will teach and tell everyone what they're doing. But and everyone's sharing and stuff like that. But for the public, like all millions of Amazon sellers in the U.S. or whatnot, they would not do that. But but there's some people also that will actually not tell anyone anything and just sits there and don't go to events, don't go to networking events or masterminds. They just sit there and then they actually think that they learn a lot. They know a lot that no one knows, but they never know because they never go outside. If whatever you know right now, you go outside and you talk to people, then you'll grow, you'll know what they know. And you're going to grow your knowledge faster. So 10 heads, 10 brains is better than just one brain on computing resources and computing data and coming back to you. And it all comes back to you one place, which is yourself. If you do share and they will share with you. So it's really important that you grow faster if you do share. If you don't share, what it is that it's hard for you to even have good employees that you train, because you're not going to be able to train these employees because you're not sharing, you know, your secrets. That's a problem with the U.S. U.S., a lot of the sellers, the best Amazon seller or the operator is the owner themselves, right? So it's hard for them to, like, go on vacations for a couple years.
Yes.
Yeah. A couple years. In Amazon, if you don't look at your seller account for a month or two, I don't know, maybe get suspended or something like that. So that's the thing. And, you know, so what George did was take Baldwin in like a brother, and he was treating him so good, driving him in his, what was it, Mercedes, or was it?
Bentley.
Bentley and Tesla and stuff. And then he's saying, oh, Howard, are you jealous? And then he also even posted up like an image of them eating in a round, like for a whole company dinner. And then he says on his story, on his Facebook story, said, hey, welcome to the ClearAds team. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's good. Yeah. And now I want to go. Now Bowen's back in Oregon right now. I think he came back last night. And now it's about today, actually, Monday. It's actually my turn to fly back out to UK to join George, to talk to him, to see him, and to see his team. So look at what he made me, that FOMO that he gave me, made me want to come fly out.
And the thing is, the things we didn't even show you because we didn't want to make you too jealous. There was even more things that we did, but we're like, no, let's not send this picture. Let's not do this.
Okay. Bowen, give me all the questions that you have. Let's go in and let's help each other. Let me show you everything, all the
secrets.
Sounds good. Right?
Can't wait.
So we have 2 more minutes left. Anything else before we close, guys?
Should we answer some questions or no?
Oh, yes. I forgot about the questions. I didn't see much questions here. Guys, do you see any?
Yeah.
So let's go back to that first one. How do you enroll in DSP? Unfortunately, normal sellers can't do DSP on their own. DSP is only provided by agencies from Amazon. So companies like Signalytics and ClearAds, we have access to DSP. And just contact one of our companies and we'll run DSP for you. Sorry, Zeeshan, can you go back one? No, the other one. It was about the budget. Yeah.
Which one is that? The budget, DSP budget? Oh, the one that I put up before. Oh, here it is. I see it. Yeah, this is the way I put up the budget. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm actually not sure what this question is asking. Do you, George?
What's the cap budget from sponsored products or sponsored brands? The cap budget, the max budget you can have. I'm not too sure what they mean by this question too.
I believe it's the starting one. Like, how much budget do you need? Yeah.
Right. So if you're gonna do anything with products, you need to start with sponsored products first. So sponsored products is where you start, and you can start anything from £5 a day, £10 a day, and then it's sponsored brands. Sponsored products are gonna make up around 70-80% of your sales. So until you see a decent amount of sales come through, then go into sponsored brands. Sponsored brand video ads, try and get that going from the beginning. That's actually really good. And that'll get you some good results and probably won't even cost that much. You can start again with $10 a day with that. With DSP, on the other hand, you'd probably need around, I'd say, $5,000 a month to get some good results. Get it going to $5,000 a month. Once you got that started at $5,000 a month, build it up. Don't take away any of the spend from sponsored products or PPC to try and do DSP. Very important. So you need to ensure that you're in a position where you can spend that much. If you're not, it's not the end of the world. Start with display ads, because with display ads, you can start with $10 and work your way up.
So, George, go ahead. Yeah.
So the next question is, do DSP and sponsored display campaigns compete within each other? They actually help improve the results. We used to think they competed against each other, but Amazon shared with us a few weeks ago that they did some testing with about 900 different brands. And they found that when they did both, they got much better results than when just doing one.
I have another question here from someone right here. It says it's about Amazon Marketing Stream. Have you guys used the data from it for DSP campaigns?
Not yet.
Okay. And then one more question I have here. Let's see. Give me a second. I'm seeing it. I'm typing it out right now. But we're over. Okay. So, yeah, I guess that's it. Guys, any other last minute things you want to say to our audience before we close?
Yeah. If you can hear me, then I would like to ask George, like, we do the fun fact at the end. So I would like to ask, like, what is the funniest thing happened to you in your Amazon journey?
Oh, the funniest thing that's happened to me in the Amazon journey. Well, that's a good question. I think I could tell you the biggest opportunity that we lost in Amazon journeys. That's like, we can laugh at it now, but it was very sad at the time. We didn't know how big US brands were. So when we first started doing it, we were working on PPC campaigns within the UK. Then when Tickmetrics, they get recommended a few clients to us. And we saw one client and we were like, sellers make this much a month? We're like, this is more than any brand we've seen it make in a year. And they do this a month. And that was like, oh. And then when we found that out, we're like, right, we put all our effort into the US. But yeah, I think that was like, it was so sad. Yeah,
I mean, the biggest sellers are actually China. China is the biggest sellers, has the biggest sellers, like in GMV. But in US has the a lot of big sellers because they've been doing Amazon for so much longer than other ones. You know, we're talking about UK, Germany. Yes, they might be big, but they're not going to be bigger than the US ones. Of course, there's always like those ones like Berlin brands or something like that is really huge and stuff. But like, if you're talking about like big sellers and if people who knows their thing, it's the people in the US and China. I would say China would know a lot more. I think within Amazon, strategic-wise, China would be one notch above the US in in like non-black hat. I'm talking about like analytics on strategies. Those in China would be probably the best of the best.
Okay.
I think there's another question here. Maybe George can talk. Can
sure. Let me have a look. How can we utilize data from DSP campaigns to optimize our products? That is a very good question, Ibrahim. So how can we utilize this data? So I think the new to brand reporting is probably going to be useful. So if there's going to be any way to find out what audiences have the highest new to brand sales, you can then put something around those audiences into the title of the product. So ideal for an audience maybe, because you've seen a good engagement and that could be tested. Is there anything else you could think of, Baldwin? Utilizing the data?
In terms of your actual products, well, you can maybe learn about your audiences and customer engagements, but I think DSP will be utilized knowing who to serve your audience to or serving ads to. But in terms of products, I'm not sure, actually. That's something that we should maybe look into.
Okay, so I got, I think, one more question before we leave. After tracking the subscribe and save customers, what campaign can we build aside from ASIN remarketing and ASIN repurchasing?
Okay, so you can create competitor campaigns as well. So you can find all of the ASINs that are very similar to your product and you can serve ads to them. So what we tend to do is we tend to have two types. We tend to have a more focused competitor audience. So this is audiences that are really closely related to your product. And then you can have a slightly looser audience. There are two different audiences you can have. You could do cross-sell campaigns as well. So those who purchase one product that are likely to purchase other products as well. So that's another option.
Great. Okay. So I will be going to UK and I will be meeting George. George, are you going to be there or only your team? I'm going to be meeting.
On Wednesday, I'm going to be there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be great. I'll be meeting you on Wednesday and you can show me the world.
Okay. Sounds good.
So George, okay, where can people find you?
You could find me on our website, clearads.co.uk. And where else? I'm on Facebook, I guess. I'm on Instagram. I'm pretty active on there. And LinkedIn as well.
Great. Thank you, guys.
No worries. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you want your product seen by more buyers on Amazon, Etsy, and other marketplaces? Do you want to get more traffic, make more sales, and scale your brand? Welcome to the Signalytics Podcast, Signal Code Unlocked, where we discuss what signals are needed to send to your customers, to the algorithms, to the ad platforms, in order to get your product seen, converting, and profiting fast. With your host, former top 50 seller on all of Amazon, the Professor Howard Tai. This is the Signalytics Podcast. Signal Code Unlocked.